Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And Brother Lucas, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Matthew 24 and verse 32. Matthew 24, 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. So telling us here, looking for the different seasons change. We were at Green Acres, I think the last time, when I think it was Sister Pyatt saw some robin. So we knew that spring was coming when you see the robins around. So some things are coming, and God wants us to be aware here of the end. So what are we talking about when we talk about the end is coming? Are we talking about climate change and meltdown of everything? No, that's not what we're referring to at all. We're talking about the rapture. The rapture, you won't find the word rapture in the Bible, but it means the catching away. So you will find the doctrine that the church is caught up in a way. Notice with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. This is what we're talking about, the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. There are the words. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do any of you at home have anything on your calendar? Doctor's appointments? Anything? Okay. All right. Do any of you on your calendar have the rapture? Why not? Well, because we don't know the day nor the hour, do we? So we don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. But the problem is if we don't have it on the calendar, sometimes we what? We forget. We forget we have an appointment coming, don't we? Have you ever forgotten a dentist or a doctor appointment? Or some other type of appointment? Oh, I forgot. You might get a call from their office, and they say, well, you're going to have to reschedule, and it's going to be 6 months out or something, you know, crazy like that. That's what happens sometimes. Oh, I should have remembered. So it's not on our calendar, but that's part of our problem, is that then we forget about it. We all have that appointment. If you know Christ as your Savior, then you have that appointment. It's coming. The rapture, the catching away is coming. And so we need to remind ourselves that it is, and to be watching for the Lord's return, to be prepared. After that, on our scriptural calendar, the tribulation period starts, and we will not be here for that. All Christians are going to be caught up there in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. We're going to be with the Lord, but down here on earth, there's going to be a seven-year tribulation period. The first 3.5 years, God's two witnesses are going to stand in Jerusalem. They're going to call plagues down from heaven. If anyone tries to hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and consumes them. But the world is going to hate them for these plagues. And at the 3.5-year point, God is going to allow these two witnesses to be killed. That's the same time as Michael and his angels fight in heaven against the dragon and his angels. The dragon and his angels are cast out of the heavenly realm. They're just on this earth now, then the rest of that 3.5 years, knowing that he has great wrath because his time is short. And that is called the Great Tribulation, those last 3.5 years. And then at the end of that tribulation period, that 7-year period of time, we are going to be coming back with the Lord. He is going to be the victor of the Battle of Armageddon. All of the unsaved people on earth, Matthew chapter 25, he's going to gather together. He's going to gather the sheep and the goats. The goats are the unsaved people. That's their picture. In fact, let's go to Matthew chapter 25 for just a second. Matthew chapter 25. The Lord is setting up his throne on earth. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. But before he starts that reign, this is what's going to happen. Verse 32, Matthew 25, 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, so these are the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he goes on to tell them what they have done for him, and they're going to say, but I don't remember doing that for you. And what is he going to say? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, who? My brethren, ye have done it unto me. When we serve one another, we are serving the Lord. When we serve one another, we are serving the Lord. He is counting that for that. So verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, these are the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Everlasting fire. Is there real fire in hell? Yes, there is. He says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Why did God prepare hell? He prepared it for the rebellious Lucifer, the fallen one, the devil, and his angels, the angels that rebelled with him. He'll go on to say to them in verse 42, I suffered all these things and you didn't help me. And they're going to say, when didn't we help you? Verse 45, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into what? Everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Is hell temporary? Is hell like some people talk about purgatory, you know, just suffering for a while and then getting out? No, it says there into everlasting punishment. But there's only one thing that will take away our sin, and that's Jesus' blood, which was given on the cross. And if they reject that sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, there is nothing, there's no other way to pay. And so hell is forever and ever. It's hard for us to fathom that. But so that's the judgment of the nations. Christ sets up his 1,000-year reign. He binds Satan. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. He cannot deceive anyone like he does now every day. And so a perfect rule and reign of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. At the end of that, he allows Satan to be loose for a short season. Satan comes out and deceives people. These are people that will be born there during the millennium. He deceives people as the sand of the sea. That number. It's just amazing, isn't it? But you think of how many Americans have spent, many of them, their whole lives with free access to the Word of God, listening to it. I mean, right now in Russia, we read that Putin has, you know, cut off internet, this and that, and so people having a hard time getting the truth. But Americans, how can any American ever say, but Lord, I never had a chance to hear. Oh, people have a chance to hear radio, even television. Internet abounds with good and bad. But there's all kinds of gospel preaching online. But he'll deceive these a multitude of people. Then it'll be the great white throne judgment. You know, people say, I just don't know why the Lord lets people get away with so much. No one is getting away with anything. At the great white throne judgment, they will receive, every lost sinner will receive the exact degree of punishment they deserve. And then we'll begin the eternal state. God will destroy this earth, the heaven and the earth, and create a new heaven and a new earth. There will be no more sea in the new heaven and new earth. There will be no more nights. You won't need the sun in the new earth, because Christ, he is the light of it. So that's what we're talking about when we say the end is coming. We can see the end is coming. These things are on the calendar, the spiritual calendar. So we're down to number 5 in the 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, how do we know? Well, you may say, I don't have a fig tree in my yard. In fact, I don't know anywhere around here that there's a fig tree. Because the Lord talks about when you see the leaves on the fig tree, you know, summer is nigh. Well, what can we see? How can we know that this time is coming? It's approaching. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in what? the last days, perilous times shall come, dangerous. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. We saw that last week. And what's next? Boasters. Can we not see this happening all around? Boasting. In the last day, people will be boasting of their wealth. As I was preparing this message, I did some research. Forbes produces a list each year of the wealthiest people in the world. And they put out a list of billionaires after the end. I think they did this list, I think, I think it was done even since March, since it turned March. But the number of billionaires on Forbes' list for 2021 was 2,755. So they're telling us that 2,755 people in the world are billionaires. And they said that it raised, last year, during the pandemic and everything, 660 new people became billionaires. Last year, you think, where are they making their money? I don't know. But 660 of them are new billionaires from just last year. So last year, every 17 hours, a new person became a billionaire last year. So, huge increase. That fits right in with prophecy. Boasting. Number 51 on that list is the top Russian. It's a family, and they're listed at net worth of $29.1 billion. But that was before the Ukraine war. I wonder what that's worth now. It was $29.1 billion. I wonder if that family's broke now. But notice in Psalm 49, Psalm chapter 49. And of course, Jeff Bezos is number one on it. He was listed at like $177 billion he's worth now. And that's even after divorcing his wife. I don't know, was that a year or two ago? And she ended up with, I think she's worth 60-some billion right now. So if they wouldn't have broke up their marriage, they would have been worth over $200 billion. But Psalm 49 and verse 6. So there's a lot of people in this world with a lot of money, and of course a lot of those unsaved people are ready to boast about it too. Psalm 49, 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. These people with their billions, can't save, they can't buy one soul. They can't buy one soul into heaven. With all those $1 billion, they can't do it. And I was reading in that, and Jeff Bezos' wife, former wife now, and Bill Gates, their marriage is also split up, and so their wealth is split too. But the former Mrs. Bezos and the former Mrs. Gates have gotten together to be in their philanthropic causes to giving money away, and they are giving a lot of money away to the exact problem that this person in the funeral stood up. I mean, they are giving money away to help move forward that vile, abominable way of life. Isn't it sad? It's so sad that people, so many people that are so wealthy, use their money for such evil things against God and against his word. It's such a shame. In Chattanooga, when we lived down there, I came across a young man who was just at a vacant lot, and he was selling things. And so I stopped and witnessed to him, and He says, I don't need that. And he began to brag to me about how much money he had made. And I said, but sir, you can't take that with you. And, oh, yes, I can. Notice with me in 1 Timothy 6. Well, he can boast about his money all he wants. And he can boast that he's taking it with him, but he's not. 1 Timothy 6. And verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought what? Nothing into this world, and it is what? Certain we can what? Carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So whether it's that young man down on the vacant lot in Chattanooga, Tennessee all those years ago, boasting how much money he had made, and he was taking it with him after he died, he's not. Or whether it's Jeff Bezos with his, you know, $177 billion. He's not taking a penny of that with him either. How much better, look at me in Matthew chapter 6. How much better to not be a boaster, but to be a heavenly investor. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon where? Earth. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. Yesterday we were out witnessing and came up to a house, and they had one of those dump trailers, those heavy-duty dump trailers. And as we pulled up to it, I was just noticing on the front that there was a spot that was rusted right through. And then as we were leaving, backing out, I looked at the fender, one of the fenders, and that was rusted even worse. And I'm thinking, wow, those trailers really aren't cheap to buy, but look at that thing. I mean, it's rusting right through. You think of those trailers as something real heavy-duty, but that thing getting in bad shape really quick. Well, everything down here, moth and rust doth corrupt. Every week when I go into the post office and take the orders in there, I look at down at the bottom of their door, and it's, I don't know if it's an aluminum frame. I think it is. It's probably like our doors out front, but an aluminum frame, but salt will, you think salt will only affect steel, but it also affects aluminum, maybe not as quick, but anyway, at the bottom, The post office has, I don't know, Brother Barry, is that marble, the steps, or granite? I'm not sure which it is, but it's very expensive. I mean, in its day, it must have cost a fortune. It would, at least now, to use marble or granite steps, you know, versus just cement. But anyway, they salt that like crazy every winter because it's so smooth. I mean, their steps are not like cement with some texture to it. Those granite or marble steps are smooth, and so they salt it heavy so people don't slip and fall on it. And they do the same up by the door, and the bottom of their doors right to the side, it's like eaten right away from the salt. And it just so reminds me, the government puts in this very expensive building and steps. Must have really been fancy for its day. But it's decaying. It's disintegrating right away, parts of the building. And so our treasure isn't here. We're investing. So people will boast. In the last days, people will boast of their wealth. And there's a lot of very wealthy people right now. Number two, people will boast about their abilities in the last days. Notice 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. In the last days, people will boast about their abilities. You don't believe that? Just listen to some of these sports players, they'll boast about their physical capabilities. 1 Corinthians 4, 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You just think about, you know, height, build, strength. And I realize strength can, a person can get stronger by working out. So I understand that. But there's so much boasting going on in the sports realm. Notice with me in Psalm 147. Psalm 147 and verse 10. Psalm 147, verse 10. The Bible says here, speaking of God, he delighteth not in what? The strength of a horse, the horse. You know, there's a lot of betting that goes on about horses and their strength, their ability to run fast. God delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in what? The legs of a man. God doesn't care how fast a person can run. That doesn't impress him. Well, what does impress him? Well, verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that what? Fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. God doesn't take pleasure in boasters. God takes pleasure in humble people that love him and serve him. Notice with me in 2 Samuel 18. Ahimaaz was a fast runner, and he knew it. And so he wanted to be the first one to deliver a message, but he was told not to do it. But he hounded him until he allowed him to go. 2 Samuel 18:19. Now, the story here is that Absalom has been killed. He's rebelled against his father, and Joab and the army have gone out, and they've killed him. And then in verse 19, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because what? The king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Now Joab was trying to protect Ahimaaz from delivering this bad news because he wasn't sure how David was going to respond, because David told them, don't touch Absalom. Don't harm him. But verse 22, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. He knew he could do this. He knew he could outrun them, and plus he took a different way. All over being the fastest runner, getting there first. But notice what happens when he gets there. Verse 28. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord, the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but what? I knew not what it was. Was that true? No. Verse 20, if you go back there, Joab told him this last part of verse 20, this day thou shalt bear no tidings because the king's son is dead. But he tells King David, verse 29, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. He did know. He was told Absalom was dead. And he lied to David. So is it worth it? Is it worth it boasting and trying to get the best of others and then to be known as a liar? No, it's not worth it. So people will boast about their wealth in the last days. They'll boast about their physical abilities. They'll boast about their plans. Notice in James 4, They'll boast about their plans. James chapter 4 and verse 13. James 4, 13. The Bible tells us here in verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say what? If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." It's so foolish, isn't it, to boast about something? I could say, well, this week I'm going to do this or that. Or I could say, this year I'm going to accomplish this or that. I don't know that at all. We don't know. Everything should be conditioned by if the Lord will. You just think about all the sports players boasting about what kind of season they're going to have in this or that sport. You know, they could easily be hurt and not be able to play at all. They don't know. Financially, you know, you could have these billionaires boasting about this or that. They could lose it all. The whole thing. They don't know. Romans chapter 1, number 4, people will boast about their sin in the last days. We saw that in the funeral. It's just unbelievable. Now do you get my point? In 2003, the sodomites in Texas came before the Supreme Court saying that they just wanted to be able to do what they wanted in private, and people to leave them alone. Is that what this person did during the funeral? No. And that's never been the case with sodomites. They're never content to do their own vile thing in private. They always want to push it on somebody else. Nothing's changed since Sodom. Romans 1:28. People will boast about their sin in the last days. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, and then what? Boasters. That's what we're talking about right here. Boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without what? Natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have what? Have pleasure in them that do them. They boast about it. That's a sign of the end times. Number 5, people will boast about why they should be led into heaven. Notice in Matthew 7. Number 5, people will boast about why they should be led into heaven. Matthew 7. Verse 21, Matthew 7, 21. The Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" I mean, they're boasting about what they have done. Verse 23, "And then why profess unto them what? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." But we know from the scripture, there's going to be no boasting when we get to heaven. No boasting. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. There's absolutely nothing about which to boast when it comes to salvation. In Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It is what? The gift of God. "Not of works, lest any man should what? Boast." If our salvation depended upon our works, then we could boast. But we can't boast because it's not dependent on our works. Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We have nothing about which to boast. It's all of him. He's the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can give us the strength to serve him. If we have any boasting, it should be of the Lord. Notice in Psalm 34. If we have any boasting to do, it should be all of the Lord's goodness to us. Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, 1. I will what? Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make what? Her boast in what? The Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. This is the bottom line, what we're talking about this morning. This is what we can take with us this morning. In the last days, there's going to be a lot of boasting, whether it's wealth or strength or whatever. A lot of boasting going on, but God wants us humble. If we're to boast about anything, it's all the Lord. If somebody compliments us, praise the Lord. If somebody says, that's a good job, well done, praise the Lord. He's the one that gives the strength. I don't know what kind of work you do. Maybe you do a work where you've got to have a steady hand. Praise the Lord, He's given you a steady hand that you can do it. Maybe your line of work, you've got to have a clear mind. You've got to be able to think clearly. Praise God for the ability to think clearly in a day's time. Maybe your job, it's physical. Well, praise God, He's given you hands, arms, legs to walk, to move, to do your job, whatever it is. We should always, our boast is in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify who? The Lord with me. And let us exalt what? His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from what? All my fears. Have we sought the Lord? This week, will we find ourselves in some hard times? What should we do? Seek the Lord. Humbly seek the Lord. Verse 5, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord what? Heard him and saved him out of what? All his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. So if we're to do any boasting, let's be refreshing. This world he listens to enough conceited people. If we're going to do any boasting this week, let us do it according to verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Let's be refreshing. Let's not be conceited and take all the lavish and praise for whatever good may be accomplished. Let us deflect all of that to the Lord. Let's make our boast in the Lord. Let's be humble people. And we have to remember, that's the only way to be saved, isn't it? Is to humble ourselves before God, confessing that we are sinners, confessing, Lord, that I want to repent of my sin. I want to turn from my sin to You. I want You to transform my life. That's the heart cry, that coming to God for our salvation. Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God, born of a miraculous virgin birth. That means He was born without a sin nature like you and I. He lived a perfect life and then died on the cross, bearing our sin, each of our sin, in His own body on the tree on the cross. Was buried and rose again in victory because it proves that His blood was sufficient to pay the bill. The sin bill, the wages of sin is death. He paid that bill. And now He ever lives. And He's standing at heart's door. He's knocking. He's knocking. And want people to receive Him as Savior. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that even though it is troublous times, we thank You that You can give us the peace that passeth all understanding. We thank You, Lord, that even though we're living in a day where there's so much pride and boasting going on, and You told us it would happen in the end times, and we see it. But Lord, help us in our walk to be a refreshing difference, to be a humble people, not a self-boasting people. May our boast, may our praise be only of You. So please have Your way in our hearts, Lord. We need to be equipped for this week. We need to be prepared. We need to be supplied by You with strength for this week. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.